the story of Joseph and Mary as a love story. Think about it from this perspective. Joseph is significantly older than Mary. Mary's a teenager, and some would say that Joseph had a few years on her, maybe even decades. And so Joseph gets news that Mary's going to have a child, and the child's not his. So he has to resolve some trust issues before they can move forward. Everybody got me? They have to resolve some trust issues before. So he has to trust her, and how many of you know that one of the greatest ways that you can love is via trust? So then the other side of the equation, Mary has her own issues to work through. She has to move from this idea that when she hears from the angel that she's going to carry the Savior of the world, she has to have this incredible movement in her own life, practically and spiritually, from how can this be to let it be to me, as you have promised or as you have proclaimed. And then they make this decision to be together, to follow through, to navigate some of the feelings, whether they were there or not, to navigate some of the twists and turns. And then at this point, you would think, okay, let's just let everybody leave them alone. They're nestled away in this cute little town called Nazareth. It's about 100 miles north of Jerusalem, where this great activity was taking place. But in the region that they lived, it's called Nazareth. It's in this bucolic area called the Sea of Galilee, and they lived in that area. And while they're living there, now they have to go to register. There's a census. In fact, the Roman ruler, Caesar Augustus, you may have heard of him, Caesar Augustus has called that everyone must return back to their homeland. So Joseph lives up north in the Sea of Galilee region, this area called Nazareth, but his family originally was from Bethlehem, or the city of David. And so, for whatever reason, his family had moved northward past Jerusalem, further north. Over the years, there was this northern drift. But he has to go back to the city of David, back to Bethlehem, for the census. They're literally counting people. So Joseph says, I know this is a really great time for you to travel. You're in the third trimester. You really shouldn't be able to fly, but we'll donkey our way there. Studies would show that the trip took at minimum 3 days to be able to get there. Can you imagine bumping and riding on a donkey or camel or golf cart or somewhere in between? And they finally end up in Bethlehem. And can you imagine the poor innkeeper? We don't get his name. We don't get the location. We don't know if it's a Hyatt. We don't know if it's an IHG hotel. We have no idea whether it's an Airbnb, a bed and breakfast, or somebody's home. We have no idea, but there's no room. And if the innkeeper had to do it again, he'd probably create some room for Jesus to be born. If he had a do-over, he probably would have called the mulligan on that one. And so the story is at this point where they're gathering in this place that is not fit for anyone to be born. And Mary would have rather stayed back. She's not conducive for travel. Joseph would rather just kind of settle. They've had a lot of news, a lot of upheaval, a lot of excitement. And so they finally, though, get settled, and then they have to go. How many of you know there are times in your life you'd like to just get settled? You'd like everybody just kind of leave you alone, and you just got to move. You have to embrace discomfort, embrace upheaval. That's where our story is today. So, a little bit of a peek. We're going to look at the scripture in a moment. But my goal this morning is this. I want us to look at it from a standpoint of that the story of Joseph and Mary is really kind of more of a little ditty about Joey and Mary, two American kids. No, just kidding. They were Jewish kids growing up in the Holy Land. And so this morning, I want you to look at this story through the lens of they have a decision to make to stay together. And in their staying together, I believe there are principles that God wants to bring into your own life, in your marriages, in your relationships, picking up the pieces off of a failed marriage, picking up the pieces in the way you're relating to your children, and ultimately how you relate to God. I believe there are transferable principles, but I especially want to focus in on the relationship of Mary and Joseph and how that gives us life even for our own. Are you all ready for a few moments together? Look with me at Luke chapter 2, would you please? I'm going to read 7 verses, and then we're going to make 4 comments regarding this passage. It's a story that you just saw. Let me just pinpoint it one more time. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to be registered, each to his own town. We just mentioned that. Joseph goes from Galilee, that northern place in Nazareth, to Judea, this southern region, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. He was directly from the line of the king. His name was David, from generations before. In fact, about 42 generations had passed from that standpoint. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed. By this point, we don't really have privilege to the description, but they actually were married at this point, and she is pregnant with child, but it's not his. She's impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, so while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloth, laid him in a manger, because there was no place or no room for them in the inn. Here's our first point this morning. There are some of you today. You need to return home. This is what I mean. There are certain places in your life that you have had some negative things that have happened to you, and you need to get out in front of some of the things. Let me pretend I'm a counselor. Well, I'm not. But let me pretend I'm a counselor for a moment. You need to get out in front of some of the things that have happened within your life. Go back a few steps to be able to see what God still wants to do within your life. Maybe your own missteps. Maybe in some way you were neglected, you were mistreated. Maybe something had happened. You need to go back to the place of where God had spoken, directed perfection, purity, and purpose over your life before something or someone took from you. Are you with me so far? Some of you need to return home. Joseph had to return home, and it was practical, but he returns home to re-identify also with the line that he had come from. He comes from a very royal line. He's tucked away in a place that was not royal, that was entirely off to the side, but he goes back to the place from whence he had come. So I grew up in a family that still is together. Four generations deep of there's not divorce on either side of my family, neither in Emily's side of the family that I married into. So don't throw anything at me. But I'm well aware that how I grew up increasingly is rare. I grew up in a Christian home where mom and dad supported one another. I grew up in that legacy of sorts. And I believe that to whom much is given, much is required. There's some of you, though, you don't have that kind of a story. And there are places in your life that God is wanting to interrupt what you think is the trauma and the crisis of your story to remind you you are not on plan B, you're not on an alternate path, you are not disqualified. God wants to help you to get out in front of some of that pain that had taken place within your life. Or maybe you go, no, listen, Scott, I can't even identify with you because if you knew my story, you wouldn't even go there as it relates to pain. How dare you to even go there, Scott? There's no way you could understand what I'm going through, what I've gone through. Maybe some of you then, you can't even get back to that point. Can I dare you to go to the place of post-pain and think of the people that you leaned on, the people that listened to you, the people that you were able to derive strength and encouragement from post-trauma, and let God do something again. Some of you need to return home again. I think it kind of looks like this. I every once in a while, I'm able to go back to where I studied for the ministry. About 3 or 4 times a year, I go back to the University of Valley Forge to study for the ministry. Welcome home to Carlos, and also welcome home to Rosie, who attend there now. And every once in a while, I'll go back, and I'll sit in the chapel where I ignored many messages. And now that comes back around to me, I think, every once in a while, that I ignored many a message. But there are times that God had spoken to me in that chapel place where I was studying for the ministry. And there are times I'll go back and I'll just sit and I'll thank God for his faithfulness. I need to go back. I'm from New Jersey, and every once in a while I'll go back to New Jersey. Did you know that's a state? And go back to New Jersey, and I'll go back there, and I'll just kind of remember and celebrate and thank God for the times he has been faithful, even the places where I wasn't faithful or where circumstances weren't faithful over my life. Some of you need to return home, and God wants to be able to do something. And so Joseph led out, needing lord over Mary. He needed to get out in front of, to remember who he was, but not to lord over Mary. And that place of, I don't know if you know this about him, but from this point in time, after this story, we don't hear much from him anymore. He really serves and lives in obscurity. I don't know about you, but I want to be great. But there are times that I feel like God is saying, yeah, but you don't know how to handle that greatness. In fact, there are times I feel like, if I may be transparent for a moment, I think there are times that God is saying to me, but Scott, you want your own renown more than you want my renown in your life. And there are times I think that God is not necessarily withholding, but wanting to refine and to kind of do something in my life to make sure that I'm leading out the right way, not that I'm going to lord over, not to pretend I'm more than what I really am, to remember to lead my family well, and even if it's leading and serving in obscurity, to be okay with that. Some of you need to return home. Secondly, some of you need to register with, that's an awkward kind of way to say it. Let me give you a more awkward way to say it. In your homes, It's important to partner together as a theocracy. Wait, what? How many of you, that's part of your common vernacular to use the term theocracy? Let me say it this way. Those of you that are leading your homes, God's not calling you to lead a democracy. You're not called to lead a republic. You're not called to lead a monarchy, and surely not an anarchy. Anybody with me? You are called to lead it that God would be the covering over your family. That's a theocracy, to respond to God knows better than I do. So that means that when husbands, you feel disrespected by your wives, it's the ultimate covering of God that's over your life, not yours. The reciprocal comes into play as well, that wives, if your husband is somehow lacking, you're honoring God as the covering over your life and over your family. Come on, we need to be under the covering of what God wants to bring into our lives because He knows best. He's loving, He's strong, He's kind. How many of you agree with me this morning? How many of you think I'm nuts? Go ahead and tell me. You see, what's interesting here is this phrase that says that He registered with Mary. It's a little bit of a nuance, but it's an interesting one to bring to the surface from this standpoint. Joseph is newly married, and he is saying that I'm willing to walk in, even though this child that's coming is not mine, I'm all in. We're doing this together. I'm with Mary. Mary is with me. We're starting our own family together. We're in this together. And so there's a huge portion of the scripture that needs to be accentuated from this standpoint. How many of you have ever heard of Caesar Augustus? Do you know that he's a real figure? Real? How many of you know that? Some of you are like, I'm not really sure. Okay, Google it, look at Wikipedia, do something with it later on. Caesar Augustus really ruled during this time frame in early 1st century AD. So think about it from this standpoint. We have, from a historical marker, let's forget the Bible for just a moment. We have an historical marker that establishes there was a Joseph and Mary that lived during the time of Caesar Augustus that's going back to then not only a fixed point in time, but a fixed place to be able to register, to be counted. There is an actual register, an accounting of Joseph of Nazareth, Mary of Nazareth, pregnant with child of Jesus. Everybody with me? It legitimizes the story that there are some of you that need that even as a starting point of forget arguing about the Bible for a moment. There are a lot of people in our generation that don't agree with the truth of the Bible. You can't force it upon them, but go back to what does history say regarding the mother and father of Jesus. If there is a story of origin, there's a story of finality. Anybody in the house with me? And you don't need to do it heavy-handed, but there is a historical proof and evidence, there's a proof text regarding the legitimacy that Jesus was actually born on earth. And if you have the starting point, you must continue to track it through its lineage and how the whole story then progresses. Are y'all with me? So that then, let's sneak peek, if he was born, then he also, help me, he died. We must resolve that, even from a historical standpoint, before I dare say spiritual. Everybody okay with that so far? This is a huge part of the story. So now let's go to the next part together. The third lesson that we have then is raise your families together. So increasingly, I'm seeing that we have families that are blended. Do you know what a blended family is? A blended family is where you have one existing family and another comes into that standpoint, whether it's just a dad coming in as a step or a mom coming in as a step or a family is actually kind of Brady Bunching it, right? So you have that increasingly in our culture. What I need you to know is, and this is potentially more than half the room today, you need to understand that Joseph actually led one of the first blended families in history because he's bringing in a child. Come on, everybody. It's not his own. It's not his own. And this is significant because, watch this, Joseph was not content to just be a stepdad, not just content to step up, he stepped in. And if he doesn't step in, the blended family becomes a broken family. There are certain places in your own life, hear me, where things haven't gone the way that you would have hoped. Maybe it truly is in your nuclear family. Maybe you're onto a second or third marriage, and you think even the church is going to project this on you, that somehow you are less than, you're on plan B, you're on an alternate plan, that something is broken within you, that you're broken, that you are less than, you're not good enough. You need to understand that God is wanting to blend that all together to bring all the bad, to bring this incredible beauty back again, even out of brokenness. God wants to do that within your life. Anybody believe me on that this morning? God wants to do that. So whether it's you're blending families or you're blending certain perspectives or you're bringing brokenness and wanting it to have beauty again, God can author that again. Let me say it from this standpoint. Recently, I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine. He's leading a family. He is now a stepdad. And in that family, I will not tell you who the family is, but he was sharing with me the story that he has a stepson. It's a little boy. And the stepson was talking with him and his natural mom about his birth father. Everybody have all the characters set. And so he's saying, my birth dad is my father. And then he points to the stepdad and he says, but you're my daddy. This is what the healing can be in your own life. God wants to do something in every situation of your life that has had an awful story and origin that may have not have transpired the way you want. God wants to rewrite the ending. He wants to bring a surprise ending into all those places within your life. So raise together what that looks like. Another way to say it is this. You and I, too much in our families, are looking for, when there's trouble, when there's chaos, there's tension, we're looking for the lowest common denominator. Have you ever seen that before? What can be the lowest common denominator, a minimum agreement, just so we can have something that we can agree upon? How are we going to parent? How are we going to save our money? Something that will draw us together. How many know that oftentimes that's elusive? The lowest common denominator. Christ wants to come to be the common denominator in your homes, that God will be your covering, Christ will be your cornerstone, that as you build on him, his life, his purposes, his principles for your life, he becomes the highest common denominator to lift your family situation, to lift your life to a whole nother level, not to stoop down to where the lowest could or should be. Anybody with me so far this morning? The last part is this. And this, I think, applies to everyone if I haven't lost people in the room at this point. So if you think you've been somehow disqualified or it doesn't apply to you regarding that you're not married, not looking to get married, or you think your marriage is hopeless or just think it doesn't at all pertain to you, I believe this last principle applies to everyone in the room, to make room. Man, again, if the innkeeper had to do it over again, I think he would have said yes. I think he would have created at least a side room, if not VIP room, for the King of Kings to be born in his establishment. I think you would have done it again. And there are certain places in your life that maybe you need to make room for Jesus to come into your life. Maybe there's too much clutter. There's too much chaos. Maybe you don't think he can do anything. Maybe you've disqualified yourself. People have told you that you don't qualify. You don't measure up. You don't have a sparkling story, whatever it might be. God wants you to know he has come not just for all. He has come for you. He has come for you specifically to tell you that he wants to love you profoundly, to bring his kindness, to bring his treasure into who you are. God wants to do it. Will you make room? So what needs to be cleaned or cleared so that there's room for him to come into your life? Maybe some of you today that you've never asked Christ to be in your life. Just want you to know that God made the first move. That he establishes himself as the generous one. That in his loving kindness, he loaned Jesus to us. To be lowered, to be born. And so he is born in a cradle. That's how he arrives. He dies on a cross, and soon he is coming on the clouds. This is the beginning, the middle, and the end of the story of what God wants to bring into your life. He makes all the difference in our here and now and in our eternity. And there are some of you who have never received him into your life. Today you need to do it. That you will remember there is a love that chases you down, that he'll enhance your family, he'll enhance your thinking, but greater still, he secures your eternity. There's some of you that you've walked away from the faith. In fact, you're not exactly really sure where you stand in relationship to God. You've heard this term like prodigal perhaps, and you're not really sure where you are with God, and you stop doing the kind of the churchy things and the rules and the religion type of thing, and you're not really sure where you stand. And I want you to know that God is calling you to relationship with him, and he wants you to know him as friend as well as a savior. Then there's some of you, there's an interesting verse that some of you might be wrestling with today, and it is this, that we have forgotten our first love. Might be some of you that have forgotten your first love. You brought such clutter, such perspectives, maybe materials, maybe worries, maybe concerns. And you know and love God, but come on, we're just not feeling it sometimes. Might be some of you, you're not feeling it. You've forgotten your first love. And the Bible says over your life, go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning of the story. Do what you did at the outset of that relationship. Not building rituals, not building traditions, not building rules into it, but building relationships, stackable moment by moment. I remember years ago watching a scenario unfold. It was very evident that two people that were not married to one another didn't have a healthy relationship with each other. And I couldn't pinpoint it. They didn't go like on dates together. They worked together, but they didn't go on dates together. They didn't like go to, you know, Disney trips together. They didn't go see the Yankees together. None of that. But you could see it that there was a relationship because of the stackability of the moments. There was a tenderness. There was an intimacy between them that shouldn't have been. It was dysfunctional. But that tenderness, that connection is what God wants to do in your life. That's outside of events. It's outside of churchiness. It's outside of attendance. It's about building a loving relationship. God wants that type of nearness and closeness with you. So some of you, you've walked away from it. Some of you haven't felt it. And some of you have never experienced it. And I just sense that most everyone needs to pray this along with me as we move to close this morning, if the music team would help me. I don't want to be weird on you, but as we move to close, I just sense that there are some people that need to receive this as a prayer over your life. Again, I think there are some people that need to, for the first time, say yes to Christ because he already made the first move towards you. And then there are some of you that you're not exactly sure where you stand with him or where he stands with you. You're not exactly sure. Maybe in some company you'd say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And others, maybe you'd deflect it and you'd back off a little bit. Sometimes it's a polite stiff arm. Sometimes it's a not so polite. And sometimes it's churchy. You're not exactly sure. Maybe there's some of you, you grew up in the faith, but you're not feeling it anymore. You've lost that love and feeling to a certain extent. And I just sense there's some people that need to repeat after me this prayer or some version of it. If you don't mind, just so nobody's embarrassed in any way, I just feel like there's some people that need to pray this prayer along with you. I'm going to say it. And then if you find in your heart to do so, would you just repeat after me the phrases? Everybody with me on that? All right. Jesus, I make room for you. I believe you're standing at the door of my heart. I invite you in. Make a difference in my life now. Forgive me. Love me. Make a difference in my eternity. I want heaven and I want you. You loved me first. Here is my loving reply. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Would you all stand with me, please? I believe that God is wanting to do something in your life this morning. For some of you, it's very possible you prayed that with urgency. Very possible some of you were flippant, some of you ignored it. But I believe that God is wanting to draw you in this moment to seal this time frame, this moment in time. God's wanting to seal that in your life. He's wanting you to respond. We believe in the idea of coming forward, to come to the altar. It's nothing magical that happens, and surely don't want to embarrass anyone. But there's something about moving practically, naturally from where we are to come a little bit closer to say, God, I'm urgent. I'm serious about what I think you're wanting to do in my life. I want to respond even in this moment. I don't want to let this moment go. Everybody understand? So there's something about that, about moving from where we are. God can deal with you wherever you are. He is everywhere. Don't get too caught up in that positionally. But there is something about when we come outside where we are, the comfort of where we are, to honor him, to take one more step, knowing he made the first move in our lives. Might be something that need to seal that today. As we sing this song, as we pray this song, if that's you, would you just come a little bit closer and just begin to let God love you? Scripture says, over your life, behold, he stands at the door and he knocks. He's not wanting to beat the door down, nor beat you down when he gets there. He's wanting to lift you with his love, with his life over you.